Morning is going back to Acts chapter 10, and I'm just going to be talking to you today. Last week I taught verse by verse through the whole chapter. It took an hour. I had no idea I was talking that long. But we did cover the whole 10th chapter last week. If you weren't here, you can listen to it on our website. Today I'm going to take one little part of that story of chapter 10 out of context, and we're going to talk about it because it's a section that has been used to justify something that I believe can't be justified. And that is the part in the story where Peter was hungry and he was waiting for lunch to be prepared and he was up on the roof praying and he couldn't get his mind off of food. Bottom line. And so he had a vision of this sheet that came down from heaven with all of these different kinds of animals on it. He heard a voice from heaven saying, "Peter, rise, kill, and eat." And the problem is that there were all these animals that were unclean to Jewish people. They had very strict dietary laws that they had observed for many years, centuries, as to the things that they were allowed to eat and the things that they were not allowed to eat. And there were some things on that sheet that the Spirit told Peter to eat. He says, "No, Lord, I have never eaten anything that was unclean." And the voice said, "What I have called clean, do not make it call it unclean." So we have taken that verse a lot of times out of context and said, "Well, that means we can eat anything we want." God just in that one place right there, God gave us permission to eat anything we want. That's partially true. But what does God's Word say? What does God's Word say about food? And that's what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. This is totally not part of the book of Acts. It's not about the Acts of the Sent Ones. This is about what God's Word says about what we should eat. The subtitle of my message is "Free to Eat, Wise to Choose." Free to eat, wise to choose. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, Paul, I'm going to paraphrase it for you, says, "All things are lawful or legal for me, but not all things are beneficial. Not all things are helpful." So yes, you can eat anything you want, but is it wise? You're free to eat what you want, but it would be wise for you to choose what's best. Christ came to set us free. He doesn't want us in bondage to anything. Back to that abundant life that Jesus wants us to have. He wants us to have a life that is full of health and life and energy and joy. Do you always have that? Is that how you feel most days when you wake up and get out of bed? Do you feel full of life and energy and full of joy? Just a question. So this freedom from bondage is twofold. Twofold. There's two parts to being free. There's the legalism that the Jews were under that Peter was talking about, where there's these laws that they had rules, regulations that you have to fill in. And in order to be right with God, you must do this, 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 and this, and not do this, this, and this. Christ came to fulfill the law and has set us free from the law of sin and death. So we are free in that sense. But are we free from ourselves? Are we free from selfishness? Are we free from sin in lust, covetousness? Are we bound by addictions due to our human tendency to excess? Just because we're free to eat anything that we want, and we also take that to mean as much as we want, don't we? You cannot eat as much as you want and live an abundant life. I'm just going to make that statement. Can't be done. Because our flesh wants to be fed all kinds of things. Good and bad, doesn't it? So you can't eat anything you want, all you want, and live an abundant life. Making wise, spiritually guided food choices is just as important to our freedom as avoiding the abuse of drugs, alcohol, and sex. Would you agree with that? First, I mean, some people don't agree with me on that. Somehow, in our culture, and especially in the church, we have a pretty good idea of what drug abuse will do to people. And we're pretty down on drug abuse, aren't we? We take a hard line, and we will go to a lot of length and a lot of effort to see people get freed from drug addiction. Alcohol. We know what the ravages of alcohol will do to a family, to a person, if they abuse it and become a slave to it and under bondage to it. And we deal with that, don't we? And we kind of put drugs and alcohol up there as, you know, some of the worst stuff you can get into, and we pray for people for freedom and for recovery, and we have groups and all of that. Recently, sex addiction, pornography, has become a big issue, even in the church. And so the church has spent quite a bit of time focusing on that, dealing with that, and calling men to accountability and calling men to a life of purity. But have we given the same concern to our food addictions? Or has it just become acceptable? See, the thing about food addiction is it's acceptable. It's socially even encouraged. Oh, eat some more. Come on. Have some more. Have you tried my latest dessert, my latest creation, my cake or my pie or my thing that I made here? We get our personal affirmation and worth, some of us, out of that, of being able to make something that is going to bring pleasure to other people through food. Socially acceptable addiction. We need to be free from slavery and bondage to anything. And I'm putting food in the same category with drugs, alcohol, and sex. Excuse me, but that's just, I believe that strongly about it. I know that I personally, and I won't go into a lot of me, but over my life, I have struggled with this my entire life since I was a teenager, particularly since I've been married, since I was an adult and married. I've struggled with weight and with physical fitness, gained 5 pounds a year for about 15 years or more, 20 years almost. Add that up. Struggled with addiction to sugar, having to have it, craving it, can't finish a meal. I don't care how much I would eat. I would get up from the table and 10 minutes later crave sugar, even though I had just gotten up from a massive plate of food. But if there wasn't enough high in it for me, I needed something sweet. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, having said all of that, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed, one version says, to the pattern of this world's thinking. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world's thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Present your bodies a holy and living sacrifice. We were created in the image of God. In some form or fashion, when God made Adam out of the dust of the earth and formed this human shell, it was designed in some way to reflect the image of the glory of God. Now, I'm going to ask a private question. When you stand naked and look in the mirror, what you see, does it bring glory to the image of God, the body that He created, to bear His image? Can you present that to Him as holy act of worship. Be not conformed to the pattern of this world's thinking. The world is out to get you. You know, when it comes to some of these things, Satan has a plan to destroy you, and it may be that food is part of that. We know it certainly is with drugs and alcohol and sex addiction, don't we? We say that Satan has a plan to destroy people's lives through those things, and perhaps it may even be food that he uses. But this world has a mindset about food that is just totally out to get you. The advertising, the industry, the whole agricultural system at this point is set up to get you hooked on what they're selling and to get you to buy more and more of all that stuff, candy and snacks and refined foods and fast food. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. So we have to get this in our mind. You know, every issue begins with your thinking. First, it's in your heart, but somehow between your heart and your mind, you've got to change your way of thinking. I guess first you've got to believe what I'm telling you about the Word of God and what it says. Believe that, and then let it renew your mind and begin to think differently. And that means you're going to have to reject some of your own selfish thoughts and ideas about food. Well, I don't like that. I don't like sowing peas or broccoli. I don't like vegetables. You're going to have to renew your mind and ask God what does He want for you. Because it is spelled out, as I'm going to show you, in the Word of God, what God intended for us to put into this body He created. He was the designer and engineer that designed this body. Just like, and I use this in our Temple Builders class that meets on Thursday night at 6:30. Little plug there. Your body's like a car engine, and God was the designer of that engine. He built all the components, everything going in. And He has a manual, just like you get the owner's manual to your car. Tells you when to change the oil, what kind of coolant to put in it, what kind of filters it needs, all of that stuff, how often. If you look to the Word of God, the owner's manual tells you how to take care of this body. And if you take care of it according to the owner's specifications, it will last a very long time. In fact, it was designed potentially, conceivably, in a perfect environment to live forever. Of course, we know we don't live there anymore, do we? We'll talk about that in a second. Moving on, I promised them I was not going to take an hour today. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Did you not know that? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Now that brings a real kink into I can eat whatever I want. Doesn't it? If you're not your own, your body does not really belong to you, but your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, and I don't think it's like just coincidental or just an oversight that in these verses it talks about your body. He says, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We know all about the spirit here in church, don't we? We talk about that a lot, but how often do we talk about glorifying God with our body? Another verse in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Of God. Talk about choices. As I said, my subtitle is Free to Eat, but Wise to Choose. We can eat anything we want, But should we? All things are lawful, but are they beneficial? Are they helpful? God's Word has a lot to say about what we should eat, and He wants us to submit our will to His in this area. It says in 1 John, I didn't get the reference in here, I would that you be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers. He desires that we be in health and that we are fit for His service as an act of worship, as an act of service, to be able to be physically able to go and live in a foreign country and eat a foreign diet. Boy, you go there, you're not going to tell them what you like and don't like, are you? You're going to eat some things that you never thought you might eat. Which diet really works? You've heard them all, haven't you? There must be thousands of diets. Diet is a four-letter word, by the way. It starts with die. Low fat, you know, quite a few years ago, everybody thought we're supposed to go low-fat diet. Eliminate fats, but eat lots of pasta and bread. That's what it ended up being. They were trying to cut out fat, so they ended up substituting pasta. And somehow pasta became a food group all by itself. This reportedly was going to help the country lower its cholesterol levels and risk of heart disease. But what happened? What happened to people that went on these low-fat diets 25 years ago? Did they lower their cholesterol? Did they lose any weight? Did they? No. They got bigger and bigger and bigger. Then there's the low-carb diets. Restrict your intake of carbs, but eat all the fat you want. Dr. Atkins came along in the 90s, I guess it was, late 90s, long in there. No, it was early 90s, wasn't it? And the Atkins diet, boy, just carbs are the devil, but eat all the pork chops and prime rib you want, and you'll lose weight. And some people did, actually, to the detriment of their bodies, because that is just as harmful as the other. And then we have the FDA food pyramid, which was designed by the Department of Agriculture and the big farm lobby to help sell more subsidized grain. I am convinced of this. I'm convinced of it, that the current emphasis on whole grain, everything, whole grain, whole grain, whole grain, everywhere you look, oh, it's got this many whole grain, is because the United States government subsidizes farmers and big farm industries, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist per se, but there are some huge companies that are making billions of dollars off of all the cereal and all of the granola and all of the grains, the corn and the wheat, particularly wheat, the wheat. But eating all of that also will do the same thing. If you have based your whole diet on the food pyramid that's got the big thing at the bottom that's bread and grain and cereal, I don't believe it. How many people do you know that it's worked for? Are you confused? Have you ever been confused about what you should eat or not eat, what's right, what's wrong? I mean, this year it's this thing, this year it's that thing. I sure was. But I believe the answer is in God's Word. The answer is in God's original design, that if we will eat those things that God created and gave us to eat, that we will live a healthy, joyful, prosperous life. So what is it? Enjoy a variety of whole foods, well-balanced meals and snacks. Now, Adam and Eve, I'm pretty sure, kind of grazed through the garden. It was just the ultimate original fast food. We'll talk about this in a minute, but you know, you just walk up to the apple tree and grab the apple and eat it. No worry about pesticides, no worry about anything. Just go up and grab it and eat it. Or, you know, go pick some corn or peas, and they ate pretty much everything raw, I'm here to tell you. I'm not sure if they had fire or not, honestly, because the climate was perfectly controlled up until the time of the flood, until the curse and then the flood. The earth was perfect, and the climate and the temperature and the humidity was ideal for life and for growth. And so I'm not sure there was fire. Anyway, eat as close to natural as you can get. For some of us, that's a challenge. It's all a challenge, but finding healthy, natural, and yes, organic is best. Honestly, I realize and recognize there are a lot of you here that cannot afford to eat organic. And, you know, that's changing. It is coming around, and it is getting easier. It is getting more available, and the prices are coming down. But right now, it is still somewhat of a fad food, and there's just not enough supply to meet the demand, and prices are high on that kind of thing. It's difficult. So do the best you can. Get as close to natural as you can. Grow your own. There's all kinds of ways to grow your own food. Avoid refined, convenience, artificial food. Ever read the label on stuff that you eat? And I'm sure you've heard this before. My wife has always kidded me because, I mean, and this isn't new. This is all along as she's known me. I read everything. I mean, if I'm not asleep, I'm reading something. I got a book or internet now, or some, I'm reading something constantly. Or I'll grab the mayonnaise jar and read the label. It's true. Or the cracker box or whatever. I read the label. I want to know what's in here. I want to know what all the ingredients are. I want to know how much protein and fat and carbohydrates there are and how many calories it is. What's the serving size? Artificial food was where I was going with that. How much of what you eat you can't even pronounce? Read the label and pronounce it. Read it out loud. See how difficult it is. You shouldn't be eating anything you can't pronounce. I don't think. Make informed, wise choices. People die for the lack of knowledge, the Bible says. And Americans are dying because they don't want to know what they're eating. They don't care what they're eating. All they care is it tastes good and I like it and I want it. Give me some more. And more and more and more. Make informed, wise choices. And the only way you can be informed and have that knowledge is to study and read and learn, ask questions. Back to Adam and Eve in the garden, eat more often, but smaller portions. As I said, I think they kind of grazed through the garden. If they were hungry, they'd eat something. If they didn't feel hungry, they didn't eat anything. And what they ate was more of a steady intake throughout the day, kind of grazing. And what that does is it keeps your blood sugar stable. You don't have a lot of insulin swings going up and down, which is what wears your pancreas out and causes type 2 diabetes. But keeping a steady blood sugar throughout the day, eating small meals more often. And, I said this in here somewhere, keeping them balanced. Trying to eat a balance of different kinds of food throughout the day. Sean, is it okay if I tell this? It's Sean's mom's memorial service, he shared something, how she would get on a kick of maybe it was pizza rolls, and she'd eat pizza rolls 3 times a day for 3 weeks. It's not healthy. But don't we do it? I mean, and we all go through craving things. You know, it might be cereal bars, or it might be Ritz crackers, or ice cream. How many of you have ice cream every night? Boy, every night, got to have my ice cream. I've been there and done that. drink more water than anything else. Honestly, what do you drink? And this is a big question for people who are trying to eat differently, who are trying to change their lives, because we're so addicted, and I'm just going to use that word again, we are addicted to sweetened beverages. We think that with a meal, we have to have some sort of sweetened beverage. Here in the South, it's sweet tea. And the recipe for Southern sweet tea is half a gallon of water and four tea bags, and at least one full cup, if not more, of sugar in a half a gallon. That's the recipe. And I've seen people use two cups of sugar in a half a gallon of tea. There's not really anything you can drink that's healthy for you, that's really going to benefit your body other than water, unsweetened tea and coffee. And those are natural substances that are, you know, brewed from, and they have vitamins, antioxidants, and they're proving more and more that they have things in them that are good for you. Well, the question always comes out, what about fruit juice? Because here goes our addiction to sweetened beverages again. Can't I have sweet fruit juice? Yeah, you can. But compare the sugar and the calories in a glass of fruit juice, which came out of a bottle, not a fruit. How many of you are drinking fruit juice that came out of a fruit? Not too many. A few, maybe. Mostly you're talking about something that came out of a bottle. And if you look at the label, you may even find out it's high fructose corn syrup with a little bit of fruit juice in it. It's not really fruit juice. You just thought it was. It's nothing but sugar still. Fruit juice is nothing but sugar water with some vitamins in it. But the sugar, it's been refined and condensed. It takes, I don't know how many apples to make a 12-ounce glass of apple juice. It's several. And you're just getting all the sugar and water out and throwing out the fiber and the rest of it. You're just fooling yourself if you think that fruit juice is a whole lot better than soda or sweet tea, honestly. Biblical foundation. I promise all of this take out of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, 20, verse 29 and 30. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which," this must have been King James, some got in there somehow, "is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for food. And to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so." Guess what? In God's perfect creation, at the beginning, all animals, including humans, ate nothing but plant material, vegetables, and fruit, and herbs. All of the animals were vegetarians in the initial creation. Why, you ask? There was no death. There was no death until the curse of sin came. Before that, nothing had ever died or would die. And so they weren't killing each other for food. And man wasn't killing animals for food, and animals weren't killing each other for food. That didn't happen until after the curse of sin and death. So this was God's original intent and design for the body he created, was to live on plant matter. Am I saying in order to be a good Bible-believing Christian person, you have to be a vegetarian? No, I'm not. As I said before, hallelujah. As I said at the beginning, back to Peter, all things are lawful now. We're under grace. All things are permissible. But not all things are helpful or beneficial. Keep that in your mind. So what did God say we should eat? Oh, that was supposed to take about 10 seconds for all those things. They came in one at a time, and on my slideshow, it's like one at a time these things come out. Look at all of this stuff God created for us to eat. I mean, I won't even begin to name them all, but I mean, in your mind, you see what's there. Look at the variety. Look at the bounty. The color. Look at all the colors and shapes and textures. It's a feast. God created all of these things and gave them to us and said, to you it shall be for food. This is His design. This is His creation. This has life in it. This is living food. And you know what? With very, very few exceptions, I can pronounce every one of these things. There's not any, you know, words in there with five hyphens and a bounty of variety of all kinds of food that God created. And it's good. Now, some of it may be on your first try because you're addicted to sugar. You might taste some of this stuff. I don't like that. Well, it takes some time, for one thing, to get over the addiction of sugar and getting that out of your system, getting your taste buds reacclimated to real food, and you will begin to discover what real food tastes like instead of artificial food that you've been eating. That's why you don't like it, is because you don't even know what real food is supposed to taste like. Moving through quickly the Bible, we see the curse, we know the story. Eve ate something. There was one thing that they were told they couldn't eat. Only one, out of all of that stuff, there was only one thing in the whole world that God said you cannot eat. And just like us, whatever we're told we cannot have is the thing we want the most, isn't it? And Eve ate it. She gave it to Adam. He didn't question her one bit. He took it, ate it. Sin entered in, the curse. And then we saw the first death. I didn't put this in here, but then things started dying all of a sudden. Things started dying. And the first thing, God slew some animals and took their bloody hides, being graphic, get the picture, and wrapped it around Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness. The first picture of Christ and His sacrifice and His shed blood to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. His grace, His mercy, His provision. Because the fig leaves that they chose and picked for themselves weren't good enough. They didn't cover enough. It's kind of hard to hide behind a fig leaf. And then He pronounced a curse. And He says, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground. All of a sudden, instead of having fast, easy food in abundance that they could just pick and eat whenever they wanted, however, what they wanted, now they were going to have to do what? That another four-letter word, work. All of a sudden, Adam is going to have to start plowing and digging thorns and thistles and growing his food. And it says, by the sweat of your face, or the King James on this one says, the sweat of your brow, you will eat your bread. Now, some of us have gardens, have had gardens. How many of you in here are old enough or from far back in the country enough that you ever pushed a hand plow before? I have, and I'm not but 55 years old, but I grew up, what we had to till the garden with was a hand plow. Had a big wheel on the front of it, an iron wheel, and had a little spade thing, and then two big handles, and you pushed it, and you couldn't push it straight. You had to kind of like this and walk and push the thing in order to plow a furrow. And then you would go and put the seeds in and then use a hoe to cover up the seeds. Anyway, planting and growing a garden was work. We didn't have a power tiller. I'm sure they came along about somewhere in the 60s or 70s. But we didn't have a power tiller. We didn't have a tractor for a home garden. You had a hand plow and a hoe and a shovel, and that's what you did to grow your garden. Adam had to make his own tools because nobody had ever done this thing before, and he had to design and figure out how to plow, how to grow things in the ground. I'm sure he was pretty hungry by the time he got something to eat. And it put forth a lot of work. I want to give you a little revelation that just helped. And here again, back to renewing your mind. And this is just a little thing that helped me so much in the last year to get where I've gotten. And some other folks have taken it and said, yeah, this makes sense to me. This idea that about eating your bread by the sweat of your brow. When I this was revealed to me, God, just like speaking to Peter about killing and eating, I feel like God said to me, you can eat bread when you've sweat for it. If you have worked for it, and that's got to, for some of us, that's got to mean physical exercise. But if you have worked hard enough to work up a good sweat, then you can have some bread. Otherwise, no bread. And no bread means also no cake, no cookies, no candy, no crackers or a pizza or anything made with wheat. Because in order to get wheat, you got to work for it. In order to make bread, this bread that they worked for, not only did they have to plow the ground, plant the seed, wait for it to come up, then they had to go cut it by hand, thrash it out and beat the kernels out, then beat the kernels to get and separate the husk and exercise, you know, winnowing it with a fork. Then they take the grain and grind it on a stone and grind it. Then they had to put water and whatever and knead it. You get the picture? A lot of physical labor went into making bread. Pat it out on a piece of, you know, in a little tortilla like, or pita bread kind of thing like we have. Okay, but then how were they going to cook it? As I said before, I don't think they ever had fire. Now they got to go get wood, gather or chop and cut, somehow get some wood, build a fire, heat up some rocks, and bake their bread. They'd earned their bread. Today, we walk in the store, pick up a loaf, and start munching. Think about it. Moving through the scriptures, next thing we see about food is talking about the flood and Noah. And even before the flood, when God was telling Noah to build the ark, how many animals did Noah take in the ark? If I ask any child up in the roots department, ask them, how many animals did God tell Noah to take in the ark? Huh? Two of each kind? Two of each kind? Is that everybody's answer? Two of each kind? Mary's shaking her head no. Anybody else want to disagree? Yeah, got another person disagreeing back there. Well, even before the law, there was some understanding that some animals were to be eaten and some were not. Because here's what it says in Genesis. He said, take with you seven pairs, male and female, of each animal I have approved for eating and for sacrifice, and take one pair of each of the others. So there were some animals that he had 14 of, and then the other ones he had two by two. See, we've been thinking it was all this time. We've had it messed up. Seven pairs. Why? Why did God tell him to take seven pairs of the animals that I have approved for eating and for sacrifice? And this was before the Leviticus. And how did Noah, get Noah and Moses, these guys confused if you're not careful, how did Noah know what God was talking about? There was some understanding. There was some, take it for granted that Noah just knew which ones were approved for eating and for sacrifice without any law. Tony, sure. Okay, he had to have something to eat on the boat. And after the flood, they were going to have something to eat. And so what happened was, after the flood, meat became a regular part of man's diet. Because everything was wiped out. All the plant life was covered with water, and it all drowned. And it took 40 days and 40 days and 40 days. You know, actually, I think they figured out it was more like 9 months that Noah was in the ark before he got out. And then it had to all grow back. They had to have something to eat. So Genesis 9:1-4, after the flood, they came out of the ark. God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth, all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground, upon all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything." So, because of so much death, as an alternative to God's perfection, which was the plant life and the stuff he had created, but it all just got wiped out, he gave them an alternative. He allowed them. He gave them a choice. He gave them something to sustain them until the earth replenished itself. That's why he allowed them, told them to eat meat. Was it his perfection? No. Was it permissible? Yes. Now we're getting to the part that Peter was concerned about. Kind of bring it back to the book of Acts a little bit. In the book of Deuteronomy, after Moses got the Ten Commandments, and he brought it down, and then they had Levitical laws, and they spelled out in detail, you can eat this, 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 and this, and you can't eat this, this, and this. And to boil it down for you, what it amounted to is you can eat beef, chicken, venison, goat, and lamb. That's pretty much all of the four-footed meat that you can eat that's considered clean under the Levitical laws. And I believe it went back to what God had said to Noah prior to the flood. These are the things that have been approved for eating. And you can eat fish as long as it has scales on it. Anything else was considered unclean. That means no pork, no horse, no lots of things that you don't want to eat. No armadillos, raccoons, possums, snakes, lizards, alligator. Unfortunately, no shrimp, shellfish, mussels, clams, oysters, crabs, lobster. You know, those things are bottom-feeding insects. Just because they live in the water. They're insects that live in the ocean. I love them and I do eat them. Because God said later on, you can eat anything, but in moderation. Choose wisely how often you eat these things. Choose wisely how much of these things you consume. Because they're not good for you. Am I making it clear that we're allowed, but we would be wise to do something different than what is permitted? The next thing in the Bible, we see Daniel. You know the story of Daniel and how they were in captivity in Babylon, and they gave him all of this rich food to eat, a lot of sweet breads and meats and things like that, and Daniel said, no, we're not eating that. Let's put it to a test. He said, you feed your men this, you give my men something called pulse. And I don't think anybody really knows what pulse is, but it probably was something like beans and rice and lentils and corn, something along those lines. And so they went through a period of time, and that the king's men ate this, Daniel's men ate this, and they brought them back for a fitness test. And Daniel's men were the fittest, the healthiest, the leanest, and the strongest than the men who ate all of this rich food that the other men had, that the king had fed them. problem today. Refined and processed food, hectic lifestyles. It takes time, doesn't it, to eat healthy food, to eat fresh vegetables, to gather or shop, take care of, clean and wash and chop and prepare, cook and enjoy the blessings of those things God has given us. Because we have food addictions and what tastes good and feels good. And then there's that thing called comfort food. We medicate our unhealthy emotions with food. You know, none of us would think about, well, most of us would not think about going on a drug binge or an alcohol binge, but we don't think anything about going on a food binge when we get down or depressed or lonely or just feeling sorry for ourselves. And we can't stop with, you know, whatever the portion size is on a bag of chips. There's 9 portions in a bag and we eat all 9. Because it makes us feel good. It soothes our pain. It's medicine for our soul. It's comforting. Balanced meal or snack containing, and I'm just going to click through these, minimal cooking methods. They didn't cook things for a long time, or I mean, mainly it was just kind of roasted up on a fire, barely done. The more you cook anything, the less life it's going to have. And that includes a good steak. If you're cooking a piece of steak until it's like shoe leather, there's not much life or value left in it. And your vegetables, you know, don't boil your vegetables for an hour in a vat of pork fat. That's not the point. Lightly cooked. Minimally cooked, or even raw is best. As much as you can eat raw, whatever you can eat raw, and some, again, what you like and don't like, learn to eat more raw foods. You will be better off. I'm going to stop, but we have all the macronutrients that's in our food is what God created for us to eat. Carbohydrates from vegetables, proteins from meats and dairies, fat, good fats and bad fats. Most of you know what this is. Eat good fat, which is vegetable, plant-based fats, and avoid bad fats, hydrogenated oils and margarines and animal, you know, lard, butter, too much butter. End with the scriptures that I started with. 1 Corinthians 6:12, it says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful, but I will not be mastered by anything. I will not be in bondage to anything, including food, especially sugar. 1 Corinthians 10:31, so then, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you may do, do all for the honor and glory of God. Have the worship team come. We're going to worship some more. And my challenge to you is just to meditate and ask the Lord. Review these scriptures. The next time you pick up a bag of chips, crackers or something, read the label and see what you're eating. Can you pronounce it? How many calories are in it? How many servings are in that bag? Count out the crackers. You know, look at the crackers and it'll tell you about 9 crackers or 8 crackers. Count them out and put the box away and say, okay, this is a serving. Learn what a serving is, what it looks like. God wants you to be healthy. And he has a plan in his word of how to do it. Amen.